I want to try to finish up some of the beautiful teachings of the Kedushas Levi on Eicha. We had this chus to record some of them earlier in the week. And we're about halfway through. We're at the piece that begins, Ata Hashem La'olam Teshev Kisacha V'chulu. It's actually the two psukim from the fifth parak of Eicha are printed in reverse order here on my sefer. I don't know if that's a printer's error or if that was something that the Berditchever intended. But if you look in Parak Hay of Megillas Eicha and Pasuk Yud Ches, it describes Al Har Tzion Sheshamim, Har Tzion, Mount Zion, which is desolate, Shualim Hilchu Val. The foxes are roaming around. Ata Hashem La'olam Teshev, Pasuk Yud Ches, Ata Hashem La'olam Teshev. However, you Hashem, La'olam Teshev will endure forever, Kisacha L'dor Dor. Your throne will be for all generations. What exactly is the smichas of these psukim? On the one hand, the desolation of Har Tzion, the foxes roaming freely. On the other hand, the deeper reality that Hashem is always there and the throne is eternal. Explains the Berditchever, Smichas ha-psukim yivuar ha-pimaymer chazam. We know from the end of Maseches Makos, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva ro shu'alim yotzim yibes kodshi HaKadoshim. Rabbi Akiva v'chaverah were watching over the Har HaBayis, looking out at Kodesh Kadoshim, and they saw that there were foxes roaming freely in the makom of such holiness. Rabbi Yishmael bacha, and of course Rabbi Yishmael famously cried, and Rabbi Akiva rejoiced. Amar kevin sheniskayim v'chulu. And as the Gemara explains there, that Rabbi Akiva saw in the fulfillment of a tragic prophecy, he saw the hope of the fulfillment of a very happy prophecy. The hope that just like it was predicted by the Nevi'im, that the Har HaBayis will be desolate, will be plowed over, there'll be foxes roaming freely, as Yirmiyah is saying here in Megillas Eicha, and we see from other Nevi'im as well. So too, we hope to see the fulfillment of the restoration of the Nevuah of Zechariah, the restoration of Eretz Yisrael and Tzion and Yerushalayim. V'yavur al pi mavur b'Ramban HaKadosh, the Ramban explains, in Vayikra Perach HaVav, v'shamamu aleha oyveichem. With regard to Eretz Yisrael has a very unique relationship and connection to Klal Yisrael. Shekama pa'amim, the Ramban writes, and we see it as a historical reality, Shekama pa'amim ratzu ha-malchios lasas Eretz Yisrael yishuv tov, k'mo shar medinos, v'lo ala b'yadam. There were times throughout history that those other than Klal Yisrael decided to settle Eretz Yisrael or attempt to settle Eretz Yisrael to make it into the beautiful land that it could be, as they felt their other Medinos that they had conquered and established were, and they were unsuccessful. Very surprisingly, that such a beautiful land, as we see Eretz Yisrael today, was so unsuccessful in the hands of the Umas HaOlam. Explains the Ramban, the Lama Zeh, and how do we explain such an oddity? Ki be'em es bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol ha'aretz. Because in truth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of the world and all of the lands. V'yesh mekomos shenigzor alav lios yishuv, v'yesh shenigzor alav lios midbar. There are certain places that HaKadosh Baruch Hu preordained that it would become a settled land. It would be a place that can be inhabited by human beings. And there are places that are meant to remain desolate, to remain as a midbar. V'nei yishuv kasher nasa charev hu midbar. And when a yishuv becomes destroyed, it can be converted into a midbar. Uve midbar darcho lios chayos. And in the midbar, it's the nature that one finds wild animals. Where people are not found, animals are often found. Va'acher kach kashenasa ha'makom chariv od yishuv. And when that place which is desolate becomes once again reestablished, ein besocho chayos k'mo b'midbar. So then all of a sudden the animals disappear. Anyone who's traveled upstate, either to camps or to different places, in upstate New York and parts of Pennsylvania. Again, I'm speaking for my own personal experience. So it's understood that when camp is in session, there are not as many animals about on the campus. However, travel up during the winter and you'll see much more wildlife roaming the camps that are inhabited by Jewish children in the summer. Why is that so? Because when there are people around, the animals revert to the forest. And when people are not around, it becomes more like a midbar in the sense that it's desolate of people and filled with wild animals. What's the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael? Aval Eretz Yisrael kasher Yisrael bebetach besocha hu yishuv. Eretz Yisrael also is a land that's meant to be inhabited by people, namely Klal Yisrael. Aval kasher golu Yisrael mimena. But when the Jewish people leave the land is not able to function really for anyone else. And that's the chiddush of the Ramban over here towards the end of Chumash VaYikra, that Eretz Yisrael has a unique connection to Klal Yisrael and can only be settled and inhabited by the Jewish people. It only produces in the way that it does so magnificently for us. Afal pisha yoshim bo shar umos, hu midbar. When other nations try to live amongst it, it turns itself into a midbar. Eretz Yisrael will not produce the beautiful produce and the splendor that that we've been zochet to see with our own eyes in our times. V'lamazen, why is that so? Shalafisha Eretz Yisrael shal Yisraelhu. The answer is because Eretz Yisrael is the land of Klal Yisrael. Nimtza tamid kol zman she'im Yisrael bo bavetach hu midbar she'yesh bo chayos. And until Klal Yisrael find themselves in the land will be inhabited by, so to speak, the wild animals. It won't be settled. It won't allow itself to be settled by the nations of the world. Lama, and why is that so? She'im Yisrael besocho. Because without a Klal Yisrael, the land is simply out of its natural mode of operation. She'im Yisrael besocho, afal pi she'yesh bo shar umos, hu midvar ve'yesh bo chayos. K'moshe mavuar, as is explained in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer in the Medrash, Eta sancheiriv shahoshiv hakutim b'aret Yisrael, ubo aleim dovim v'arayos v'misim ko v'midbar. When sancheiriv tried to reestablish the kutim in Eretz Yisrael, they were attacked by wild animals, by bears, by lions. It turned into wild animals. Because until the Jews end, the land cannot be outsourced really to anyone else at all. Afalpi sheyoshuv shar umos hu midbar. It doesn't matter who else lives there, what other human beings appear to set up shop there, it simply doesn't respond to them. And this is a great proof, and again, we see it as a historical reality in modern history, and throughout history, really, that Eretz Yisrael only responds the way that it does, and the way that we've seen in our times, to Klal Yisrael. It's an amazing open miracle if we stop and think about it. And therefore, explains the Berdichever, now we understand the Pesukim in the fifth parak of Eicha, V'ze'ato Hashem li'olam teshev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you dwell forever, klomar. B'ze'anachnu betuchem ki la'olam teshev Eretz Yisrael. This is the proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever watches over, maintains his relationship with Eretz Yisrael. V'lama ze'an, why is that so? Al har tzion she'shameim shu'alim hilchu bo. By watching the way that when it's not in Jewish hands, the foxes meander about on har tzion, the fact that the animals are given dominion over the land when the land falls into the hand of our enemies, that's the greatest proof that this is Hashem's land. And it won't accept itself to be settled by any other nation. What a beautiful piece to think about, our connection, our innate connection, such an open and revealed connection, again, that we see with our own eyes, the way that Eretz Yisrael shares that intimate relationship with the Klal Yisrael and responds differently to us than it does to anyone else who tries to settle its borders. Afal pi sheyesh sham shar umos, they simply don't have the ability to do so. And that's the proof, again, of Ata Hashem la'olam teshev kisacha ledor dor. That the fact that Hashem is able to only give Eretz Yisrael over to us is the greatest proof that Eretz Yisrael belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, it highlights HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unique hashkacha over Eretz Yisrael more than any of the other places on planet Earth. Okay, we continue with a line from the Kinos, from Tisha B'Av, a line which on the one hand is very sad, and on the other hand, as the Kedushas Levi already explained, Rav Soloveitchik would cite this explanation as well. I don't know if he knew it was found already in the Kedushas Levi, but it's certainly an idea that was picked up by Tzaddikim in more recent years, but already the Kedushas Levi writes, on the words, Eilei Tzion va'areha kamo isha b'tzireha va'aklal, ki ha'isha b'sha shekoras leilei yesh latzar. There's no question, it's obvious to us, and really this is the intent of the Paitan, the one who authored this kina, that when a woman is going through the pain, the horrible pain, the difficult challenge of giving birth to a child, she's in unbelievable pain. But of course that pain will be unbelievably overshadowed by the great joy she'll feel with the birth of a child, the simcha of bringing a human being into this world. After carrying that child inside of herself, nurturing it inside of herself for 9 months, all of her pain in a second is forgotten when she hears that cry of that beautiful child, that Jewish baby being born into the world. And all those who saw the woman going through this terrible pain, at the same moment, it's interwoven with this unbelievable feeling of joy. Why? Because they know that as much as she's suffering right now, and of course they feel her pain, but they also know full well that what's about to take place is a tremendous, tremendous simcha, the birth of a child. V'zeh v'emes hu ha-simcha, and that is the simcha. V'gam lo v'emes ye'achar kach simcha k'shetele. So those who are standing around already get a feeling of that simcha, in her moments of suffering, sometimes the pain is what's the focus of her existence at that moment, understandably so. But certainly shortly thereafter, she'll feel an unbelievable joy that will overshadow that pain. In the moment, she's in pain, but she knows that it's going to be followed up by the ultimate joy, the birth of a child. So the same thing is true when we look out at Eretz Yisrael, and we see Eretz Yisrael in certain ways still in a state of Chorban, Baruch Hashem. We've seen a lot of Baruch in Eretz Yisrael. But there's no question, on some level, certainly the enemies of Israel that still continue to attack Klal Yisrael is part of the Chorban. And the spiritual struggles in Eretz Yisrael is part of the Chorban. And the lack of Achdus Yisrael is still part of the Chorban. So it's very nice that we have some beautiful buildings reestablished in Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh, not to be taken for granted. But there's still elements of Chorban and Tsar, even in the modern era, that we see when we look at Eretz Yisrael, when we look at Yerushalayim. And therefore, with that pain that we feel, we should remind ourselves that all of that is Rak Kamo Isha B'Tzira. It's like a woman in her birth pangs, in her labor. Aval Be'emes HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yesh Lo Simcha Mizeh. But even though we feel that intense pain of the struggle of the reestablishment of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already beyond the Tsar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to see beyond the woman, the pregnant woman giving birth, namely us, giving birth to the Geula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the joy. Ki hu yodeh she'atzar hu rak l'shah. Hashem knows that this pain is short-lived compared to the joy that will come afterwards. Aval acher zeh yibana HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'yeser se'es v'yeser oz. But we know that afterwards HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow the building, the reestablishment, the Geula to emerge. And that gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu a simcha even while we're in our moments of pain. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Chas Hashem abandoned us, Imo Anochi Betzara, we suffer together, but like the outsider, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not overwhelmed by the pain the way that the pregnant woman in the moments of giving birth is temporarily overwhelmed by the pain. And we draw on that strength by acknowledging the fact that all of our suffering is going to give birth to a tremendous geula. V'zeo ha-remez v'medrish ein la menachim. Kol makom shenemar ein la havi la acherkach. Whenever it says, the Medrash tells us, whenever it says there is not, it means temporarily there is not, but afterwards there will be. Kamo b'sara, for example, it says by Sarah, v'tehi sarai akara ein la vlad. Sarah was barren, she did not have children. But of course that was only to be short-lived. We know that afterwards Sarah in fact would have children, Baruch Hashem. Uve emes hayu la vlad. And she was blessed with children. And therefore, he says, my Rebbe explained, probably referring to the Maggid of Mezrich, I'm not sure, Adoni Mori Verabi, sometimes he quotes him by name, Ein Mazel the Yisrael. When Chazal tell us in the Gemara and Shabbos that Ein Mazel the Yisrael, what that means is Ha'ayin, who Mazel the Yisrael. Ha'ayin, the Ein Sof, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashpia to Yisrael. Mazel means what? Yizal Mayim Midalyov. Like the Pasuk says in Vavidvar Perach of Dalid, to draw forth water from the bucket. So therefore, Ayin is able to be mashpia to draw good things upon us. So what does it mean? Ein la menachem, v'zeu ein la menachem, ha'ayin hu menachem la, ki hu yodeya shabavada yibana osav yinachem osav b'chifle chiflayim. From where does a Jew draw the strength to survive the galus? From the Ayin, from the Ein Sof, from Kutcha Brichu, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is beyond time and beyond space, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that all of the suffering is going to lead to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and the reestablishment of Malchus Beis David, and therefore, Ayin La Menachem, the Ayin, the infinite one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gives us that Nechama, even though in our moment, in the moment, so to speak, we're still hurting and we're still suffering. But that itself gives us a chizik, just knowing that fact, knowing that reality, that's a tremendous source of encouragement for each and every one of us. The next piece is drawn from a pasuk in Yeshaya, Perach Samach Gimel, pasuk Gimel. Again, it's printed here, you'll see thematically why, in his writings on Megillas Eicha. The pasuk says, V'chol malbushai egalti. Haklal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kol midosav hein malbushav. What does it mean, kol malbushav egalti? So says the Berditchver, the concept of a malbush by HaKadosh Baruch Hu means the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean, the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Kulo chesed v'darcho alasos chesed im kol briosav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears a garb called chesed, a garment called chesed. But sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to change his garment and put on a garment of Midas Hadin when HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to punish the enemies of Klal Yisrael. As we explained earlier, we saw this both in Parshas Bishalach as well as in Parshas Balak more recently. there really is nothing other than the chesed of Hashem, because even when Hashem punishes the enemies of Klal Yisrael, it's a chesed, not just for us, but for them. That when Paro or a Sancheirav or a Haman or a Sisra become a source by which a Kadosh Baruch Hu is able to express himself in the world, that's a chesed for them. They accomplished a good thing. They brought more godliness into the world. Obviously, without the intention of doing so, they were trying to harm Klal Yisrael, but they became a tool by which a Kadosh Baruch Hu was megale his power in the world. And therefore, it's a chesed for them. It's a schus for them. That's why we find that the Bnei Banav Shal Haman, the Bnei Banav Shal Paro and Sancheirav, we find Mamari Chazal and Gittin and Zion, that the children of these Rishayim in fact became members of Klal Yisrael, or righteous people in their own right. So when a Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes them, it's really a great gift for them. It's a tremendous gift that they become a kli by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence becomes more revealed in the world. Al yadam zochem shebnei b'neihem v'chulu. And therefore, it's their schus that allows their children to actually reap the benefits of a life of Torah and mitzvos. V'nimtza zehadin hu chesed lahem. And therefore, their punishment is in fact a tremendous kindness in disguise. Aval ha'asid lavo yasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu nekama gedola v'chol ha'goyim. But says the Berditcher on behalf of Klal Yisrael, we shouldn't think, how is that fair? Our enemies beat us up, our enemies get punished, and in the end, that's a chesed for them. Don't they deserve to suffer for the terrible abuse against Klal Yisrael? How could we allow these Rishayim, so to speak, chote niskar, that the sinful one should be zocha to good things? So the time will come, says the Berditcher, in the future. V'yefshar lavo lahem mizeh eiza tekuma achakach. A time will come when Hashem needs to finish off the enemies of Klal Yisrael once and for all, and there is no period afterwards by which the descendants of Haman, so to speak, can become from Jews in Bnei Brak, like the Gemara says. Ki yefshar lahotzi mibnei b'neihem eiza nitzas kadosh. As we wrap up Jewish history, a time comes for just plain old nekama, that those who took advantage of us should be punished for what they did, without being rewarded after the fact that their descendants will become righteous Gentiles or fine Jewish people. Ein mekablen geir l'imos Mashiach, as Chazal say, we don't accept converts when things are wrapping up in the imos of Mashiach. V'nimtza i'efshar sh'yavo mizeh eiza chesed. And therefore, a time does come when the punishments of the umos ha'olam are a chesed for us, certainly, but will not be a chesed in disguise for those enemies of Klal Yisrael who are being punished. And that's what our pasuk is hinting to. This pasuk in Yeshaya Samach Gimel. V'zeh ha'remez la'asid lavo, kishakarash baruch hu osa nekama. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu afflicts and punishes the enemies of Klal Yisrael in the future, Malbushai Shehim Midosai Egalti Ki Tomen Midosai Nikram Levush Darki Sheyavo Mizeh Chesed. A Kadosh Baruch Hu says, usually the typical way that I express myself is that it's a malbush of Chesed. It's always whatever midah I'm expressing, it's really rooted in Chesed. Va'ati Efshar Lavo Mizeh Chesed. But a time is going to come where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, so to speak, it's not just a malbush. It is what it is. The enemies need to be punished, and the chesed in disguise will only be for Klal Yisrael. And again, that's a little bit of a comfort for us, feeling that, okay, it's very nice that Hashem wants to turn power into a tool for Kvod Shemayim, but what about us who suffered? What about the Jews who suffered at the hands of our enemies? Why should they be zochet to even be worthy of being a tool to bring Kvod Shemayim? They should simply be punished. And the Berditcher is telling us, by way of the Navi Yeshaya, that yes, a time will come when Hashem says it's not going to be a hecha timsa for something else. It's not going to be a punishment which is really a bracha for our enemies in disguise. But those enemies who become our enemies at the end of days will have no other option than to be destroyed. And that spirit of vengeance should be comforting for those of us who suffered at the hands of these terrible enemies of Klal Yisrael. In the next piece, he tells us, Tzion nikris ata yasom, u'malchus beis David nikris ata begalus almana. When we talk about the sensitivity the Torah has for yasomim and almanos, for widows and orphans, for orphans and widows. So says the Berditcher for Tzion, Eretz Yisrael, Tzion, is referred to as a yasom. And malchus beis David, in this state of galus, is called an almana. And therefore, kol ha'merachim al yasam almana yizka livos b'nechma sion u'malchus beis David al mechona. He says in a short cryptic piece here that if we have Rachmanos on Yisomim ve'almanos, in a certain sense, we're having Rachmanos on Tzion and Malchus Beis David, and anyone who has Rachmanos on Yasam Almana will be zochet to see the reestablishment of Tzion, the spiritual grandeur of Eretz Yisrael, and Malchus Beis David restored to its place as well. In a similar fashion, Chazal tells in the Gemara in Tanis, Kol Mizabla Yerushalayim zocha v'ro b'simchasa. Anyone who mourns over Yerushalayim is zochet to see the simcha. Explains the Kedushas Levi, it's not just that in the future you're able to see the simcha, but by properly mourning, by reconnecting ourselves in our mind's eye to the suffering of Klal Yisrael at the time that the Churban actually took place, just like we're able in a very real way to rewind in our mind to that period and re-experience it, so too we're able to experience a taste of the simcha of the future, even though it is yet to emerge in the world. Haklal hu, kol kochos ha'adam nimshach achar machshava. Everything within a person is drawn after my mind. Wherever my mind is, that's where I am. This is the klal of the Baal Shem Tov, quoted by the Toldos Yaakov Yosef in Parshas Chayesara. Wherever you put your mind, that is the essence of man. Nimsa kashera adam choshev b'kedusha misabla Yerushalayim. So when I spiritually attach myself to the pain and the suffering and the loss and the mourning of Yerushalayim, oz machshavaso v'atzmuso b'kedusha, I attach myself to that utmost holiness that once was. And through that, I'm zocha. Not just I'm zocha that one day I'll be zocha, but I refine myself to such a degree that I go ready. The same way I can relive the past in a very tangible way, I can already experience the future in a very real and tangible way. I get a taste of that future world of geula, of binyan. I'm able to taste, and again in my mind, I'm able to experience a glimpse of the simcha that will be in the future. But only someone who's real about it, only someone who connects in a deep way, is able to appreciate that and feel the pain of the galus and to catch a glimpse of the geula. We had learned that at one point, I believe it was Parshas Kisisa, a long arichus about part of the tefillah that we say Shabbos morning. And it comes back to it here in the context of Megillas Eicha, the famous line of the davening, Efes Biltucha Goalini in the Mosa Mashiach, in the Yotzer for Shabbos morning. We say, Efes Biltucha Goalini in the Mosa Mashiach. What does it mean? Klamar. Kishiyavo Mashiach Tzidkenu B'meher B'yameinu. Says the Berditcher again, an amazing tefillah that should comfort us so much during these days, that when we think about the arrival of Mashiach, which we should be zochet to see in our times, we need to realize az yizgale b'chol ma'oros shahayu begalus lanu, that everything we went through in galus, every little bit of pain that a Jew went through in galus, hayakol hachana legula, every bit of it brought the geula closer. We shouldn't think any of our suffering was in vain. Ki ata begalus eino nira, because right now in galus we don't have the eyes to see. Ava b'zmana geula yizgale zos shakol hayachana legula. We'll come to the realization that every bit of hardship, every bit of suffering, every Tisha B'Av we went through, every tear that we cried, it's all a preparation for the Geula. And that's what it means. Efes Biltucha, Klomar Hayom, Eini Yodea Zos, Kima Borei Baruch Hu, Shakol Hu Achana L'Geula. Today, Efes, there is none besides you who fully understand the whole picture. V'zeu Efes Biltucha, Goalein L'mos Mashiach. But when Mashiach comes, then everyone will catch a glimpse of what you knew all along, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Namely, that all of the suffering throughout history was again a chesed in disguise, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu moving us towards the Geula. Why it has to be that way, we don't fully understand. But if that's the way a Kodesh Baruch Hu made it, then we should have the confidence to know that's the way that it needs to be. Okay, let's learn two more pieces. We know that Rachel very famously cries on behalf of Klal Yisrael in the Navi in Yirmiyah. It's one of the kinos based on a medrash in Eicha that we recite on Tisha B'Av morning, that all of these chusim of the Avos and the Imos and Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't really save Klal Yisrael, but it's Mama Rachel who comes to the rescue of Klal Yisrael. So commenting on that pasuk, v'zeu shenemar b'Rachel mini kolech v'chulu, hima oreres ha-geula. Rachel, we know, is the one who awakens in a certain sense the geula. Uve'emes shemo shel Mashiach hu lefnei b'riyas ha'olam. But the truth of the matter is, Mashiach, the name of Mashiach, the essence of Mashiach, already existed prior to creation of the world. The Ruach Elokim Rachefes al Panei Amayim, the Medrash says, is the Ruach of Mashiach. HaKlal Kasher Mavur B'Zohar Kaddosh, and therefore the Zohar Kaddosh explains, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Kosov V'Hodiyah B'Torah Nechamas HaGeula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Torah from the start the consolation of Geula, Hashem in a certain sense was makdim refuah lamaka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put what? The refuah into place, that possibility of geula, into place before any of the bad of world history occurred and happened and unfolded. Kasher Rom Yisrael Nechamas HaGeula B'Torah, and therefore, when we look into the Torah, and we see that the Nechama has already been programmed into the Torah, namely into reality, Yeshlem Simcha B'Nechama Shariya Mirza Hashem Beis HaKetz. We're able to celebrate and to maintain our composure, to have the strength to march through Galus as we suffer, knowing that there's a great joy to come afterwards. V'yacholam lisbol ol ha-golus, we can handle, the heaviness and the weight of the Galus. V'zeha yepu'ulas Rachel. And in a certain sense, what was Rachel's role in all of this? Shepalo v'akashasa shi'yisrael yasigu b'golus mi'at minachwas ha'asidus lavo alayim. Rachel daven that we should be able to recognize, that Klai Yisrael should have that depth of perception, to recognize to catch a glimpse of Geula. Rachel wasn't necessarily saying that I have the ability to take Klai Yisrael out of Galus, but I want them to at least, Rachel being that checkpoint, so to speak, throughout history, to be able to give us perspective, b'chadei sheyuchel lispo ol ha-Galus. The same way that Ruach Elokim Rachefes al Panei Amayim was written in the Torah to give us a place to look to draw strength from, Rachel, Mama Rachel's tears, and her willingness, so to speak, to be buried on the road, being merames, of course, to the travels of Klal Yisrael throughout all of Galus, is another checkpoint for us to draw strength and to be able to handle just another day in Galus until the Geula unfolds and occurs before our eyes. Okay, and we'll end with this one more piece. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'Nashuva. Of course, the final psukim of Megillas Eicha. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'Nashuva Chalei Sheminu Kekadem. And then the Megillah actually concludes with Pasuk of Beis, Parakei Pasuk of Beis, Ki Ma'os Ma'astanu, a very sad Pasuk, even though you've considered us to be Ma'os, to be repulsive and contemptible, Katzafta Leinu Ad Ma'od, and you've already taken out your anger against us, and of course the minhag is to repeat Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'Nashuva Chadei Sheyameinu Kekadem, to once again end on a more positive note, that Hashem bring us back, and let's try to restore the relationship. So on that point, with regard to restoring relationships, there's two types of divorce that take place, and they may have a very different ending or a postscript. Sometimes, God forbid, a husband divorces his wife, they part ways, as the Torah describes very fully, because he finds in her ervas davar, he finds an adulterous matter in her behavior. And sometimes, unfortunately, the couple just grows apart. They're not as close as they once were. They've lost that spark that once was. She didn't do anything particularly egregious, chas v'shalom, like ervas davar. But there's just that lack of bond that once was between the two of them. What's the difference between the two? Meaning, what could happen afterwards? Hachilek shebeinayim, kishemegarsha machmas shematza ba ervas davar, azay osra lachzir avalikachosa. If he divorces her because Rachman al-Islam, there's an adulterous relationship, so they're prohibited to one another. And they're no longer able to come together, and he can't bring her back, even if he desired her. But if if there's a lack of favor, if they've grown apart, and they choose to separate, well, they have the choice to once again come together and to reunite. And that's the pshat in our pasuk. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'Nashuva. Hashem, bring us back to you. Don't, God forbid, allow us to think, because it's simply not true, that you divorced us because of Ervas Davar, because you found in us an adulterous matter, and therefore it would be usher to take us back, as the nations of the world want to believe that Hashem has abandoned Klal Yisrael, and we've been replaced by others. Ze'eno, it's simply not true. Ki ma'os ma'astanu, because you simply didn't like us anymore. There was a lack of closeness that we felt. There was a lack of chayin that once was. Hagirishin lo hayarak machmas ki lo matzal chayin be'inav. It was never ervas davar. It was never an adulterous matter that truly occurred between us and Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, mutar lachzor v'likacho sanu. Yes, we've grown apart, but hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva chadei sheyameinu kekadem. Let's try to get back to the good old days, the way things once were. So Mirtza Hashem, again, When we hear Megillas Eicha, we should hear it halavai halavai. We should hear it in the trup, so to speak, of the Kedushas Levi. To hear the positive messages and all the hope that's found within. to realize that all of the Chorban and all of the Avelis is not for naught, and to realize that all of the distancing is really just the Yerid L'Tzarach Aliyah, and to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to truly pay back our enemies once and for all, and to remind ourselves time and again that all of the pain is nothing other than the birth pangs of a woman who's going through, yes, albeit a very difficult pregnancy and a difficult delivery, but that moment when the baby cries out, when we hear that shofar blast ushering in the Messianic era, all of the pain, all of the suffering of Galus will be completely forgotten and will be completely understood by us. Efes biltecha gualini l'mos Mashiach. Now we don't yet understand, but when that time comes, we'll understand it with such a clarity. So halavai, we should just continue to be sovel the Galus, to do our part, to long for the geula, and then amir tzah Hashem to greet Mashiach and to wipe away our tears with the geula shleima b'mehira b'yameinu. Amen.